Oops.
You're live!
We're on, buddy.
By the way, you are live.
World premiere tonight.
This is the world premiere, ladies and gentlemen, of the Off the Radar Show. We have been requested to have Dave Ebert on the show to promote his brand
Can we
new
on that, Dave?
Book. Yeah. Okay?
Wow, okay.
How many pages in that book there, Dave?
It's 430.
Okay. How many pages in Guy Kawasaki's new book?
Do we have a copy of that?
Yeah, I've got Guy. I have Guy's book right
okay.
here.
All right.
And he has 200 pages.
Weak.
Do you write that on the playground,
yeah,
Guy, or what's going on?
I just want to point out that like my book's a wee
bit
bigger.
Can we zoom in on that too?
Bigger than Guy's book.
You're in Guy's book. Is Guy in your book?
Yeah. No.
No.
Are you in Guy's book?
I actually am in Guy's book.
You are? He's in Guy's book.
Yeah. I made it into Guy's book, which all my Silicon Valley friends. I even got a picture of me in Guy's book.
But Guy didn't make your book.
But Guy didn't make it to my book. No.
Wow. That's a fair deal.
Do you think there could be a Guy Wars?
Guy War. Oh, that's a good one. You know.
Could be a Guy Wars.
May the seventh be with you.
Neil, before we even start, can we introduce our guest?
Pop it out.
I got you. Don't worry about it.
Is it working? Need a green light.
Green light.
Is it working?
Get back over here. It's working.
Woo! Yeah, baby.
Can we please introduce our guest?
Okay, he's our first guest. We have many, TC, but he's our first guest that has had dinner with a Japanese emperor.
And? Was on the road with Nelson Mandela.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yes.
And met Desmond Tutu in a coffee shop?
Grocery store.
Grocery store?
Yep.
Which has been more important to you? The people you've met or the sharks that you've named?
Oh, that's a good one. Actually, meeting Willie Mays was my best thing.
Hold it. You've named how many sharks?
I've named 53 sharks right now.
And Willie Mays is your best accomplishment?
Well, I was 12 years old, you know?
Did you call him? Is there a shark named Willie Mays?
No.
But will there be a shark called Off the Lip?
Off the Lip. Well, we'll talk about that, guys.
Yeah. Which means he's going to push off to the sideline.
Well, it might take 200 gallons of diesel to get that made, but we'll figure
Might take a little donation, but we'll work it out.
Okay, so tonight's the premiere. The premiere of the brand new book called...
Sharks and Rays of the East Coast of North America.
Dave Ebert, I brag about you all the time because I figured you are like... If somebody's interested in sharks, the textbook is your book, right?
Everybody's interested in sharks. Since that movie.
Well,
right? Since the movie.
What movie? Jaws or something?
That movie.
The Dave Ebert
story. If that movie had to come out,
the Dave Ebert story?
Yeah, exactly.
The Dave Ebert story. Were you terrified or intrigued when you saw the movie? Because I was terrified.
Hang on, hold it.
We're doing a timeout here. You. Joe, get over here.
Who?
We're doing a timeout. Get over here.
Okay. Sorry.
We'll talk about how scary Jaws was.
We're just going to do a little thing here.
About Jaws?
For Jill.
Well, who hasn't seen Jaws?
Jeff was a friend of yours, was a friend of mine, and he owned Pleasure Point Design over here with his wife, Jill, and he passed away recently. There's a big show coming up on May 11th, right?
Yes.
Which is sadly at the lot across the street from the...
It's a beer garden.
Oh, beer garden. It's called the lot. They call it the lot.
I know.
Across the street from Suda.
Suda.
Right? Mm-hmm. And it's going to be a party for Jeff. Jeff doesn't want to be, something sad. He wants to have some music, some beers, and have a damn fucking good time.
Party time, baby.
Absolutely.
And so tonight's show is dedicated to Jeff and her.
Jill.
Jill, I mourn with you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Jeff was a big part of Pleasure Point.
Jeff would love this show. He would love to talk to
you. We talked about this earlier.
Yeah.
I emailed him. I was like, hey, I got a race car. Are you interested in wrapping it? And he immediately replied, 10 seconds later, yes. And
that's right up his alley.
And so
wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah. So let's celebrate, Jeff.
Please.
Yeah. At the lot Saturday. What time it starts?
12 to 5.
12 to 5.
And
live music.
Live music from... Rabbit Truck and the Climbing Trees.
Two great bands.
Two good bands. It's going to be rock and roll. It's going to be a blast.
Yeah.
I don't want to, you know what? I'm sad Jeff went because he owed me $5. a golf tournament paid Aptos. He never fucking paid me.
$5?
Yeah. And now he's gone. I can't give him $5.
Oh, by the way.
Oh, I owe him $5, I think.
No, you don't owe me $5. He owed me $5.
Hey, he's so smiling right now over that.
I don't want the sympathy $5. Just the point. It's the point.
Okay. Well,
he'll owe me $5. He'll owe me $5 the rest of my life.
Wow. Okay.
Which is fabulous.
Is it a like a BYOB? Is there going to be beer? What are we doing?
It's Pledge of Point. It's ever
food.
It's Pledge of Point. However, you can get a hold of a beer. Well, you get a hold of a fucking beer.
Well, it's cross street.
Well, you do pay to get in, but the proceeds go to Santa Cruz of Hospice. So,
I love that.
You know, and even I think the food and the, I think the whole thing, a percentage goes to that. And Jeff would love that, too, because he was all about that.
I'm really sad for what happened.
Yes. Me too.
If there's something that you could say to the community that Jeff would like to say, what would it be right now, you think?
I stole $5 from Neil.
I'm not sure what Jeff would say.
Hey,
but
let's have a car here.
He loved our community. He loved a good drink. He loved a good time, and he loved to do things for the community.
You told me earlier that when you met him, you couldn't live in his town, and you said to him, "What town do you want to live in?"
Correct.
Yeah.
And
what
he
was
picked
that?
Santa Cruz.
Yeah.
And I said, "Oh, give notice. We're out of here," because I grew up coming here, and I love it here too. So. And, you know, honestly, 28 years later, we would have never moved anywhere else.
No.
And, love this community.
And PPP Design, like, what do you do there, and what could people look watching the show, what can you offer them to keep the dream alive?
We do everything the same. Yeah. We do everything from design to signs to websites. Wraps,
business
cards. Cars. We wrapped your car.
We wrapped my race car, yeah.
And he loved that. And he loved that.
And you drove him down the street the damn thing.
No, it's just really quick, I'll say, I just routinely crashed my race car, and I put a new body on it. It was plain, and I emailed Jeff and said, "Hey, would you be interested in doing this?" 10 seconds later, he said, "Hell yeah." And we had so much fun. And I tried to find the video because we wrapped it at the shop, and I drove the race car on the street, and we burned out, and he was ear-to-ear grin.
That
and
sounds like him.
It was amazing. So I will say thank you for that.
Yeah, thank you.
And you are such an anchor in Pledge of Point.
That's right. She is.
You know, you really are. And I congratulate you for continuing on. It's hard.
Yeah,
I get it.
Hard.
You know, but let's celebrate Saturday, right here in Pledge of Point.
He was an amazing man.
Yeah, we'll come on out. We got two great bands right here at the Beer Garden on Portola Drive.
Yeah, across from Suda.
Across from Suda between 41st and 38th Avenue.
Absolutely.
And let's celebrate Jeff, right?
For sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah, amazing. So,
please come out and say hello.
What's the rest of the show?
What?
What's the rest of the show? You're out of here. We're not that kind.
Okay.
We're in, we're out, we're out. We're out. Boom, 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 boom. Okay.
That was a hit bump.
We got back to Dave Ebert right here.
Get out.
Are we in this book? TC and I are in this book at all?
You didn't make it into this book.
But I did
TC,
hear.
How many times do you have to come on our show to be in your book?
At least two more times.
Dave, I just want to say, first off, thanks for coming back on the show.
Oh, no problem.
Secondly, for those people who haven't watched the show in the past, we've debunked a few shark things, and I talk about it. One is Veronica Gray's snake, the sea snake wetsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And you said something to me with that they slurp sea snakes down like noodles?
Yeah.
Is that what I heard?
Yeah, tiger sharks do, yeah.
Yeah, so having a wetsuit that has stripes on it may not be that good?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yeah.
Secondly,
Sean Robai?
Sean Robai had the ankle bracelet, and you once said, Lost Shark Guy,
yeah,
your best
friend should is wear a friend it. With a shark anti anklet.
Yes. Yes, absolutely, because that's where the shark's going to go. To the guy putting
it's
off the.
It's not going
to
deter sharks. It's going to.
It'll attract them. So you can surf all you want at Manresa as long as you've got TC or someone wearing one of those shark bracelets. Because the shark's going to go for the person.
I love that. With so the shark bracelet. Anybody who loves to surf the beaches should buy their friend
a
magnetic anti-shark anklet.
And tell them that it'll repel sharks.
To me.
Yes.
And absolutely, it's the opposite.
It's the opposite.
So the company that's selling these?
Yeah.
Is that like a farce?
I have no idea who sells them.
But somebody is.
Yeah. No, I know. They put that out there.
That's amazing.
But yeah, they put that out there. They sell them. But yeah, but no, because sharks are attracted by vibrations. So if you're putting out vibrations, you're attracting the sharks. So that's the whole point. So it kind of defeats the whole purpose. Like, I'm going to wear this thing to like put out a vibration to keep the sharks away, but actually they're attracted by the shark.
Are vibrations hands going through water paddling?
It depends. Well, they look for things like if you're like kind of flapping around, don't know what kind mm-hmm. of make all that. That's what they're going to be attracted to.
So what you're saying is if you're surfing a sharky area, be as smooth as possible.
Yes, absolutely. Smooth as silk.
So you when you fall smooth, when you paddle smooth.
Yeah. It's when you're making a lot of like
commotion
and stuff, that's what's going to attract them.
Wow.
If you tend to be more smooth, it won't.
Is this for like commercial use? I mean, this is very difficult. It's a very.
It's
extremely informative book.
This is the kind of book.
You're not going to read this in five. You're going to read this in a day and a half.
No, what the book really is that you can read some of the introductory stuff, tells you about how to use the book and some information just on sharks and shark conservation. But what it really is to help you identify sharks. So if you're out at the beach, for example, now again, this is the east coast of North America. The Pacific coast will be coming out next. So, and I'll be back on the show to talk about that one. But this one, if you see a shark, you're out there, this is the book to use to help you identify it. It's got a whole bunch of keys in it. When I say keys, like if you go to the front part here,
yeah,
it'll
these
show
are
you.
Rays. These are
these, yeah, these are skates.
Rays and sharks, same family.
Yes, they're flat sharks. Yeah, man. They're flat sharks. And you go, they have like these keys that you can go through and look for characteristics that show you how to identify a shark. So if you see a shark, that includes a skate, a ray, ghost shark. You work through these different keys and they'll take you down to how to identify it to species. So you can look like a real brilliant person to your friends. Like you see some shark there and you're not sure what it is. Like you, oh, well, and pull out your trusty guide here. And you can work your way through and go, oh yeah, this is, Rostoraja acoli.
What?
Well, that's a scientific name. Or you just tell them it's an ocelot skate, for example.
Dave, how many books have you written?
This is my 36th book.
How many people have read your books?
Well, this book, you guys, you're special to me because this book is just was released today.
Oh, today?
Today.
Party!
Yeah, exactly. You guys are this is the world premiere of this book. It just came out today, May 7th.
World premiere, TC.
And I made the point of like coming on to make this premiere.
Yeah, you did.
Just with you guys.
Yeah, thank you. We're rolling.
Well, first off, welcome back. And where's this book available?
You can get it on, from Princeton University Press, Amazon.com, or any of your other, if you have any other.
How much, price-wise?
Depends where you go, but it's anywhere between, if you go on like Amazon, I think it's $32.
Is there a discount code if you go off the radio?
Yeah, if you go on there, it's like $39, $32 to $39.
You get an extra $5.
I'll work out a deal for you, buddy. So, but you mentioned a deep discount. Well, I'm the guy, I've been on your show before, like I wrote the Sharks of the World book. And that book, actually, if you go on Princeton University Press and enter a code that you can find there, you can get, or you go on to my Instagram, Lost Shark Guy, there's a code on there. If you go on there, you can order all of my other shark books that I've done with Princeton, including Sharks of the World, for 50% off. So you can literally get the Sharks of the World book for like, I think it's like $30 or less now.
Can I just say I have that book?
Yes.
And it's amazing. The art.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm looking at an art gallery in that book. Can we mention the artist of that book?
Yes, Mark Dando, fabulous art, phenomenal guy. We've had some amazing books. He does these amazing illustrations there.
Can we zoom in on that?
Yeah, take a look at that.
So
I mean, nobody cares what I write, really.
Right. No, we don't care.
No, they really care about the pretty pictures. Yeah. And Mark is phenomenal because he writes, these are absolutely accurate. Yeah. As best we know of these species, these are the most accurate things you're going to see.
You know, I'm a fisherman.
Yeah.
And I have this trifold rockfish identification thing I keep on the boat.
Yeah.
I use it all the time.
Right.
And the reason being is there's so many different fish and sharks.
Mm-hmm. You can identify some of the sharks. For example, like look at here. You have like the white shark or the mako shark.
Mm-hmm.
Now, these are sharks that occur off here. You might have seen them when you've been out fishing. Mm-hmm. So this book, even though it's not geared for the Pacific Coast, that's coming next. This book will help you identify some of the sharks and rays you see off the coast here.
So just to ship the white sharks, are they in every ocean?
Pretty much, yes. They're not in the North Pole or the South Pole.
But right, most, they don't like cold water.
The real cold water. Yeah, they get up to Southeast Alaska, though.
You've told us before that the white sharks don't intrigue you.
No.
It's not your gig.
Here's a little known fact, though. My first scientific publication when I was just a young pup grad student was on the age and growth of the white shark. But I've never looked back since then because I was like, okay, I've been there, done that. And that was like, you know, many years ago. And so now I work on things like the lost shark, species that nobody's ever heard of. Like if you look at some of these things here. Oh, actually, let me find
your favorite. Okay.
My favorite.
I told you earlier the favorite page of your book.
Yes.
Here you go.
Okay.
That baby there.
Okay, what is that baby?
That's the big-eyed sand tiger shark.
The big-eyed sand tiger shark.
Yes.
From?
It occurs in the ocean.
Friendly?
But where?
It occurs, well, we haven't found it off the coast here. It's known it's in the Gulf of Mexico and off Florida.
Friendly?
Well, it's a 15-foot shark with big teeth. So I would say it's a friendly.
That's What are you talking about?
Sounds like
about?
A few of my friends' ex-wives.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
The ex-wife.
That was TC, everybody. That was not Neil and I. So, but this shark here, this is my bucket list shark to see. I've seen a lot of like, for
example. So you've never seen it?
I have not seen this shark. This is the one.
You've named dozens of sharks.
Dozens.
You've been around the world.
Over 50 species.
15 feet with big teeth.
Yes. This is one of the rarest sharks in the world. I mean, I found some very rare sharks. For example, like you look at the goblin shark there next to it.
Goblin shark.
I've actually found that one. Did a TV. I did a whole TV show for Shark Week on the goblin shark. We went out and caught one, tagged a couple. Actually, we tagged two of them. But this one here, this is my, like, drop the mic, walk off stage, I'm done if I get this baby.
Really?
When you do
Discovery Shark Week, do you have hair and makeup?
Is that your 700 home what? Run right there? Is that's the big one?
This is the Grand Slam,
that's
baby.
The Grand Slam. That's the 700 home runs.
That's the big slam. That's the big Grand Slam.
When's that happening for you?
I don't know. I've got to get out there and, like, I've got to get back out in the field and look around for it. I know where to look.
Before, you were talking about tonight that you were going to East Timor?
Oh, yeah.
Your next journey?
My next expedition.
Timor. Where is that?
It used to be called East Timor. Now it's called Timor-Leste. Okay. And I'm going there in a few months now.
North of Australia.
Yeah, I'm going.
Is there surfing there?
I'll let you know when I come back.
If you are out diving for sharks and there's a perfect right-hander,
will you
photograph that for us?
I can do that for you.
I love that.
I can bring that back for you.
Because nobody goes there, right?
Right, no. Well, the cool thing is nobody's been there to look at the sharks before. That I know of. No one I've aware. No, ever.
You're the shark guy.
So, like, I'm literally going, this is going to be a completely, whatever we find, it's going to be all new to science.
Is that going to be the off-the-lip radio?
That will be
shark, that trip?
Well, we'll see. We'll see what I find, guys.
Because that's your deal. You want to find sharks that are either lost or have not been found.
I look for species that haven't been seen sometimes in decades, and sometimes are completely new to science. And the reason is, like, people think, like, why are those important? Well, these things are really the proverbial canary in the coal mine. These sharks that I'm looking for will tell you more about the health of the marine environment than a white shark will, or a basking shark. These are the really, because nobody pays any attention to these things, but these are, like, again, sort of lower, below like a white shark in terms of a trophic level. But these things are being removed in some cases, in some areas, at a much more rapid rate than some of the more prominent sharks, which actually a white shark and a lot of the tiger sharks, they're actually pretty well protected from a conservation standpoint. But these lost sharks that I look for, nobody's looking for these things. And so these things are the really, like I said, I'll say it again. These are like the proverbial canary in the coal mine.
So besides
the canary in the coal mine,
besides the let's just call them the sexy sharks.
The sexy sharks. Yeah.
So besides the sexy sharks, what is your take on the shark species in general right now?
The shark species.
Like overall, what's. Because we're protecting some sharks, but not all of them.
Yes.
Overall, what's your opinion?
Things like a white shark. White sharks are really well protected, actually. Right. You know, in California and a lot of the world,
leopards and sand
leopard shark. You know, as a general, like California and the West Coast here, the Pacific, they're actually really good. The shark populations are actually in pretty good shape.
Worldwide,
it depends. It's a regional thing. It depends where you go. You go to areas like, I'm going to East Timor. We don't have any freaking idea what it's like there. When I come on the show next time after I do this trip, I'll be able to fill you in more.
We'll have you back to say that.
Yeah, literally. I have no idea.
You could have a Timor wife, right?
Maybe. No, he has a girlfriend.
I have a girlfriend.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Since when? When did she show up?
Neil, she's watching.
She's watching. You're going to get a lot of trouble, buddy. Yeah.
But, Dave, my point being is you're going to find out the reefs have been stripped.
In some areas, for example, East Timor is sort of east of Indonesia. And Indonesia is one of the biggest shark fishing countries in the world. So a lot of the stuff is and actually one of the shark. Well, here's the main reason I'm going to East Timor and going to Indonesia, is that there's two species. There's a ray, a flat shark, and there's a shark species, a regular shark species, that are both virtually have been declared potentially extinct.
Right.
Because people have not seen these things between 90 and 160 years.
Wow.
And so I'm going to go see if I can find these things.
Yeah.
And part of it is to highlight that we're losing species that nobody's paying any attention to because they occur in parts of the world. You know, if this is San Francisco Bay or Monterey Bay, people look at it differently.
Well, when
you
can go to, I just suggest 90 to how many? 160 years. Pre-cell phone.
Yes.
Camera.
Yes.
Right.
Right.
How do you draw, though, to say I saw this shark?
Well,
do you even know?
Well,
hang on. Go ahead, CC.
Yeah. Well, how do you know?
Well, now I know. Well, how do we know? Well, that's the whole point of the expedition, is to go around to network. And that's what I do. And Kawasaki talks about that in the book here. Just check out page 90, by the way. Worked in there, guy.
Mm-hmm,
But the point is, I work with fishermen in a lot of these countries because, and as they say, and Guy mentioned his book, I'll go to these communities and I'll have 50 or 100 boats out fishing. And so, and I kind of talk to them about showing pictures of what I'm looking for.
Because it reminds me of that one with the lake where the shark got kind of attacked by the lake, remember?
The lake.
Was it a lake or was it that shock that
no, you went to a spot.
Yeah, middle of nowhere. Middle of nowhere.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We catch them all the time.
Yeah, that's exactly. That was Sri Lanka. Yeah. I went to a place. I was looking for this one shark, and the guy come fisherman. I show him a picture of it, and they tell me to come back the next day.
Yeah.
And so I do, and they have one of them. And I was like, oh, it's going crazy. And they says, I asked them how often they catch them. They go, we catch them all the time. We caught three yesterday.
So they use them for fertilizer, and you're out of your mind, but you found one.
Well, actually, I couldn't believe the chances of that happening are about zero.
Yeah.
But in that case, they got one. It was one of the best finds I ever had.
Does that happen? You're looking for a shark.
Right.
And these guys are catching them and throwing them overboard they're not even good.
Right, yeah. Well, then literally they're throwing them back, so I didn't see them. And I asked if they bring one in. They said, we'll come back tomorrow. And so I came back in. They didn't even say, we'll have one for you. They said, come back tomorrow.
It was a badass shark. You guys are in a rowboat.
Yeah, that turned out to be... Oh, no, that was a different species. No, this shark...
What was that one?
This actually turned out to be a completely new species of science, the one in Sri Lanka. The one in the rowboat, that was a white shark. That was
a whitey?
Yeah, we know what that is. Yeah, it's not a problem. But
what do you mean, no, it's not a problem? It's a big... How big was that whitey?
Okay, it was in the boat rowing, but after I kind of got to shore, it wasn't as much of a problem.
Once you were ashore, no.
Yeah, no, because I was
Did
on the
Did you kiss shore. The ground when you hit to get to the shore?
Oh, hell yeah. I kissed the ground, had more than a few beers that night, and
was that the only time you thought you were going to die by a shark?
It's the one that stands out the most. Yes.
Are there others? Because you're the shark guy.
Yeah, I don't really. I mean, that was such a fluke thing. When you go out to look for them, you never find them and stuff. It's because that was such a fluky incident. No, I mean, I've had a few other incidents where I've been in a situation where I've had sharks kind of swarm around me, and they were large ones with big teeth, and I wasn't really prepared for it. And
well, and you said something to me earlier. You're not looking for the big ones. You're looking for the small ones, right?
No.
Like the weird ones that get overlooked. I
mean, what people don't realize is that you know, over 80% of all sharks are less than 6 feet long, and like half of them are less than 3 feet. So most sharks, there's some sharks I can literally hold in the palm of my hand. They don't get any bigger than that.
And are you more excited about finding those than some big one?
Yeah, because those things are going to be, as I said, those things are going to be more important. They're going to tell you more about the health of the marine environment than a big white shark or a tiger shark. They're easy to see, and everybody's aware of them. And most places now have conservation protections for those species. But the ones I'm looking for, nobody's paying any attention to.
None. Yeah.
You know, I feel like, I don't want to sound morbid, but there'll be a time when you're gone, and it'll be like, Dave Ebert, the guy who went around the world 17 times looking for sharks.
We bring him up.
That will be, I'm just saying, you are the shark, lost shark guy.
Yep.
You've dedicated your life to this, right?
You find, are there sharks that you found previously, like in lakes, like in the Great Lakes or lakes around the world? Are they specific to the ocean?
Most sharks now are marine. There are a few species. There's ones, bull sharks, for example. They'll go up rivers and into lakes and stuff in some areas. Yeah, they'll go up the Mississippi, for example. Bull sharks will. But there's actually one of the species I'm going to go look. I shouldn't say I'm looking for it. There's a student who's working on these things. They're called river sharks in the Northern Territory in Australia. And these were species this is a species that was thought lost. Nobody's seen one for like 100 years. Now we've found areas where there's people working on these things, grad students. So one of the things I've wanted to see is like these things in the wild. So one of the things I'm going to be doing is going to look and look at some of these things in the wild. I'm really excited about that. Yeah. That keeps me going.
Yeah. I mean, do you have enough sharks? Do you have enough sharks to keep going?
Oh.
You've discovered them all?
There's plenty of sharks still to be discovered. You know, I've been finding new shark species. I still find new. I my most recent shark species was the ghost shark. It was called a ghost shark.
Yeah.
It was just officially named in March of this year.
How's it been officially? Who makes it official?
Well, it makes it official. You have to, when you find the shark, you have to, like, there's a whole process. Find it's the easy thing. The whole process is then going back to the laboratory, doing measurements, photographs, doing some genetics on it.
Yeah.
And it's the whole process. Then you have to write up a scientific paper and get it published.
Right.
And that takes time, it can sometimes take years.
Yeah.
And then once it's published, that becomes a historical document. And then the specimen, which is called a holotype, goes into a museum collection. And that's literally a national artifact. That's like just like whether it's some kind of.
Do you have sharks at Smithsonian that you've named?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah. I've got some. I got probably most of the California Academy of Sciences. Yeah. I got some at the Smithsonian, some at the American Museum, and several other museums around the world.
Should we still enjoy that movie? You still enjoy that movie? Or should we?
Jaws?
Yeah.
That's a great movie. I love that movie. Yeah. Oh, it's great.
That movie kicked off your career?
In a way. I mean, it was kind of interesting because people talk about Jaws as being like a bad thing, but actually Jaws was a good thing because before Jaws, there really was no field of shark research. And what happened with Jaws?
None whatsoever.
Shark research was mostly shark attack and how to prevent shark attacks. And most of that was funded by the Office of Naval Research kind of after World War II because of the stories that came back. Well, what happened after the Jaws movies, people got really interested in sharks. And there was a lot of negative stuff got put out about, like, you know, sharks are being killed in fishing competitions or being caught.
Well, the whole movie kind of was a downer on
it had
a negative vibe for sharks.
Well, right, but the point was people don't realize is that sharks were already being caught before the movie. What the movie did is it brought sharks out of the shadows and into the light. And why, there's people go out there and kill these big white sharks. What it also did is it brought a lot of interest. People started asking questions like, well, how many sharks are there? How many young do they have? How old do they get? And I was kind of in that first generation, the early 80s came in, we're sort of the Jaws generation, where we kind of got interested in studying these sharks and stuff. And so it was kind of a wide open time. And that was really the beginning of the modern contemporary shark research field. There was no, it's hard for people, young people, they didn't understand, but there was no field of shark conservation. It just did not exist.
It was get rid of them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. It wasn't even that. Like I said, they were already getting rid of them. Mm-hmm. Just nobody thought of. You know, they talk about shark finning. Shark finning had been going on for hundreds of years, mm-hmm. but nobody paid any attention to it. But again, Jaws brought all that stuff to the light. The stuff with me going when I started coming on as a young grad student in the 1980s is we started asking questions. Again, the public was asking questions, and funding became available for us to go out and like look for like some of these. Again, I didn't call them lost sharks at the time, but going out and studying these things.
When that movie came out, when you watched the movie, who did you support? Did you support the shark?
You know,
or did you support the fisherman?
Well, because
right? I mean, which one did you kind of like? Which one did you favor?
To me, it was like a monster movie, so it wasn't even like a reality movie. And this, you know, because I grew up in Monterey, so I was out diving all the time. Yeah. I mean, I was in high school at the time the movie came out, so I was like, we watched all the movie, like we went out diving, surfing. I was like, oh, that was a big, you know, it's a cool movie. We enjoyed the hell out of it. Went back and saw it multiple times. Made a lot of money for some people, not me, but we went out. But you know, the thing was, it was a good movie. It was, you know, we enjoyed it, but I didn't take it seriously because again, growing up in the Monterey Bay area. You just sort of knew white sharks were out here, and you just go out. It's like you surfing in Manresa.
you pulled me off that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, welcome back, buddy.
Thank you. Yeah.
Have you ever been nose to nose with a great white?
Not in the water, thank God.
You haven't?
Yeah. No. And I don't look for that either.
But earlier you were saying that they hunt in the deep and then come in the shallow.
They'll hunt in the surf. They'll because it puts them at a bit of at a hunting advantage over seals because all the commotion going on. I think the seals they hone in on the seals. I think sometimes it's why occasionally surfers get attacked because they just mistake it for being a
wrong
seal.
Wrong place.
Yeah, just being in the wrong place. If you've been up, you know, with the helicopter and stuff with me with Chris Gallardi or specialized helicopters, like. There's plenty of white sharks out here, and people are just, there are occasionally some attacks, but they're not that common.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Sunday,
but you see,
but on Sunday I went to Año with my wife.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And we hiked all the way out there.
Right.
There are so many kneeboarders.
Yeah.
They actually like sea lions, but they look like kneeboarders.
Yeah.
They're everywhere out there.
Right.
Yeah. So are sharks smart enough to determine a seal from a surfer?
I think they can determine there's something different about the surfer than a seal because seals and elephant seals have a lot of blubber, so there's a lot of energy. There's a good reason to eat those things. The reality is most people, there's just not enough fat on us to make us that enticing to.
So it's the mistaken bite.
How about you see?
I've been working on it.
Okay.
I've been working on it. But, you know, in the 80s, I worked at Freeline Design. We made kneeboarders for a guy named Lou Boren.
Mm-hmm.
And Lou Boren, unfortunately.
I know.
Yeah, Lou Boren, unfortunately, he got it. But it was a bite.
Yep.
The bite that got him.
Yep. Yeah. Now, I remember that because I was actually out diving around that time. And I remember going into seeing the surfboard that got bit in half.
Yeah.
And that was a full-on...
They never found Lou. They found the board.
He washed up about a week later.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, no, they did eventually find
him. So is it the mistake bite? Is that what they do?
Because that's a good example, you know, in that he was not eaten by the shark. The shark killed him, clearly.
Right.
But he didn't eat him.
Right. They just take a bite. And is that when they... Can you please, is there a difference in the temperature of human blood versus a ocean mammal blood?
I think it's hard to say exactly what cues the shark picks up on a surfboarder or a kneeboarder or a seal.
Right,
I'm sure it's going to be different.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And white sharks are known to bite inanimate objects.
And they'll swim around and wait for you to die.
Well, they'll bite.
Something?
Yeah, but like in the case you mentioned, the person, like, the body was there for a week and it never was consumed and eventually washed ashore.
Right.
So in some case, I mean, I'm sure there are instances where people have been consumed, but it's pretty rare because people are just not on the menu for sharks. And Larry, I mean, I know, I realize most people think, oh, I can stand and lose a little bit of weight, but the reality is when you compare to like a seal or an elephant seal, your fat content is not nearly what it is in those things.
Right.
And there's a lot of energy they can gain from eating something like that.
So the shark, from what I understand, recently the great white population is growing.
Well,
but recently, last time you were on the show,
You said you thought there might be less.
But I went up. I went up with Chris in the helicopter, and there was way less than there used to be.
Yeah. So is that changing?
The thing is, no. I think there's plenty of white sharks there, but I think what's been interesting is that we had all of these young of the year newborn white sharks that were showing up in Monterey Bay starting about 2014. And that coincided like with El Nino and some warming out here. Well, the water's cooled down now. Yeah. And I think the sharks these young sharks, not the large ones, the young ones, have stayed down south now, which is more their known area.
Welcome back, Channel Island surfers. Keep an eye out, bros. Right? They're heading back down there?
Yep, they're back
thank
down
God.
There.
Yeah, thank God.
Yeah, thank God. Thanks so
much. Okay.
Man, Reese is okay now.
Thanks, buddy. Yeah.
So,
I got the okay.
So the Great Whites are back to Channel Islands. Yeah.
Well, I should want to qualify that, is that you got the bigger ones are still around. These are the smaller ones.
So... Can you just say currently there's less great whites in Monterey Bay?
I don't know. I would say there's, as far as the juveniles seem to be less. The small ones, yes, there seem to be. Mm-hmm. But the small ones mostly eat fish. But the bigger ones, I don't think their population's probably changed as much. It's probably about the same.
How many feet a year does a great white grow?
I think they grow pretty, okay, having done the first Asian growth study on white sharks when I was a grad student. That was my first paper. I think the young ones grow pretty fast. They're born at about 5 or 6 feet, and I think they probably grow up to 8, 9 feet probably within a year or two. I think they grow fairly fast.
There you go.
So, okay, in a year. So in like 2 years or like to 11 feet?
No, I think what they do is they grow. Initially, they grow pretty fast, and then they start, then typical growth, like most like humans, you grow kind of fast and you slow down. I think that's what they do. They probably the first few years. I think most, it's not 100%, but they probably mature within about 10 years or so.
Can we say that if you're a passionate surfer, the bro you surf with every day should wear a sea snake striped wetsuit
and an ankle
bracelet?
Yeah.
And then you'll be like off the
book
hook.
Is called Sharks, Braids, and what's that called?
Chimeras.
What's the new book? I don't know.
What's a chimera?
What?
It's a ghost sharks. What it is? Chimeras are actually related to sharks. They are cartilaginous. They're also called like ratfish and chimeras. But they're all what unites all of these things. They're all cartilaginous. They all have cartilaginous skeletons.
And people eat all of them?
Yes. Depends.
And is that the problem that we're dealing with? Is that
some of them they don't. Some of them are so small they don't have much meat on them. So they don't really. People don't eat them. But in a lot of parts of the world, they in addition to food, they'll harvest them for the liver oils. The liver oil is worth money, and the fins in some species.
Okay.
So yeah, so you get them for different things.
What's liver oil? Is that like a?
It's used for like lubricants, and it goes into like cosmetics and.
Not
like
Viagra.
With your toy,
no.
With your sex toys that you have with the wife.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Bring it on. Will you bring a couple of those home?
It's called.
Right, so the book is called
Sharks, Rays, and Chimeras.
And where can they buy that book?
They can get this book at, you can get it at Princeton University Press. You can also get it on Amazon. And I just want to give a shout out to my illustrator, co-author Mark Dando on the book, Princeton University Press.
By the way.
Also, I want to thank Save Our Seas Foundation because they support a lot of my research here. And if you get a chance, tune in to my own podcast called Beyond Jaws, which I'll have to have you guys on at some point.
Have we been a guest of that,
TC? We're going to be soon.
Yeah, go on, Beyond Jaws podcast. Yeah. We're also on YouTube.
And so back up a little bit. Somebody sponsors you to travel. Who's that?
A Save Our Seas Foundation. Yes. Yep. Awesome, awesome group.
Okay. Congrats.
Yeah.
What a life. Leads a charmed life.
I think so.
This is Guy's book. A lot thinner.
Yeah, just...
A lot thinner.
Thinner.
And Ebert's book.
But Guy, it's a great
Dave,
book.
Dave, I gotta say, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
Oh, it was
we
awesome.
Love you. We love having you.
Anytime,
you
guys.
You are the lost shark guy.
Yeah. Thank we love you. Having you. We love it.
Thanks,
yeah.
man.
And I can't wait to the off-limp radio show Shark.
We're going to have a shark.
We're going to have a shark named after
OTL.
God.
The OTL shark.
That's going to be amazing. We'll do a show about that shark.
Oh, I'm sure it'll be a show.
It's
going
to be amazing.
He's going right.
Okay, that's going to happen. Honestly, we got 1,000 shows coming up.
Coming up.
And maybe we can celebrate on that night. Is that possible?
You're putting him under pressure, TC. Don't put him under pressure.
No pressure.
Don't put him under pressure.
We are working on 1,000 shows.
No pressure for
possibly that night. Neil, I'm going to put my point. It might be that night. That's it. Okay. Who's next week?
The owner of Trestles. I don't have his name in front of me. Trestles Restaurant opened up a new restaurant in Aptos. He's coming to the show.
Love it.
Bunch of good shows coming up, TC.
I did want to congratulate.
Buell's coming on.
Oh, Buell's coming on?
I
want to congratulate John Mill Jr.
Yeah.
For winning the Barney contest.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
I just feel like that's Barney's amazing. And the big part of Santa Cruz. So congrats, John Mill, to winning that contest.
Ladies, thank you for coming to the show.
Hey! Come Saturday.
This Saturday, May 11th, at the lot right here, across the street from Suda.
It's not the lot, it's called the Beer Garden.
At the lot, blah, 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 blah. We're going to have the Climbing Trees Band, mm-hmm. Rabbit Truck Band, yes. A lot of fun. This is all for Jeff.
I love it. Jill Betancourt.
Hi.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
And all you've been through.
Thank you.
This Saturday at the Beer Garden on Portola. Let's come celebrate Jeff Betancourt. Dave Ebert, good night, my friend.
Thank you, guys.
First off, we didn't touch your Nelson Mandela. I mean, there's so much going on with you.
Legend.
We will have you back.
Absolutely.
And when you named the off-lip radio show Shark.
There we go.
Yes. Neil, as always.
We should have called that fucking halibut I caught on your boat.
Yes.
And the boat's gone. Damn it.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in to the Off the Radio Show. We will see you next time right here at the Santa Cruz Ballroom. Good night.